going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
And we welcome you into another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff, C70. It's about at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, Alan Medlock from Red Dirt Red Bird at AMedlock1 on Twitter. We've actually got baseball to talk about. We've got a baseball season coming. This is, Alan, I think we're in, given to where we were last week, I felt like, you know, when we were pretty much about to throw in the towel and assume that there was nothing ever going to happen. There's been a lot that's happened this week, and now we know some dates, we know some plans, and we can start looking forward to baseball again.
Yeah, you're right, and it actually happened rather quickly. I thought, after the last denial, and you and I were kind of talked about it, and you're like, well, at this point, all the momentum's lost, and no one's going to look good on this situation. But anyway, about a day later, they came back and said, okay, well, we're going to do this. Here's the next proposal. We're not necessarily going to implement it. And ultimately, it was our last proposal minus the playoffs is how we're going to implement this. And on top of some other things. But I think that both of them saw how bad it looked, and whether they're still maybe just picking off a scab on this, they saw the opportunity to try to get started and to kind of navigate this virus issue and see if they can get on the field. And I applaud them. I mean, I said there a couple weeks ago, or I say this all the time, but the last few months I was super pessimistic this was going to happen, and I thought it was going to be in the worst fashion that there could be, and it could be financial. But it sounds like they've kind of jumped over some hurdles or buried the hatchet for the next year and try to get some baseball going and, you know, trying to be that first sport back. And I hope that's the case, and I hope they make it, you know, as ceremonious as they can.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to be doing a little bit of that with the idea, I guess, that they're going to have basically two games on the 23rd of July, and then the rest of the season schedule starts on the 24th. I figured that means that they'll pick out probably the Red Sox, Yankees, and who knows, Dodgers, Giants or something. I don't know. But basically, they'll probably be two nationally televised games, and then everybody will kind of get started the next day. It's going to be a push. It's, if I remember right, it's 60 games in 66 days. Mm-hmm. We're going to have baseball pretty much every day. I got a post up tomorrow as part of this, what almost felt like a never ending. And now I guess it does have an end date of a series that I'm writing. But what's your excitement level about this? How does this compare to you in general and maybe compared to like a regular beginning of a season?
Well, I'm pretty excited. I think that my apprehension to even getting started was so high that I didn't think that we would get to this point. And I thought that they were going to do it, you know, like I said, in the worst way possible. When the news started coming out and I started thinking a little bit more about it, I knew that this is probably sounding like something's going to happen. I started getting pretty excited. And then some of the details that were coming out about, this is one of the very few seasons that we're ever going to see a sprint like this. And I'm going to enjoy it. I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to see the strategy involved. I'm ready to see the pitching moves involved. I'm looking forward to it. I am not as big a pushback on some of the, which anybody that listens to the show knows this, as far as some of the traditionalist things. And I think that it's going to add to a little bit of fun to what we have in a season that, to me, when that first month was canceled, this was going to be an outlier regardless. So let's have some fun with it. Let's see some new things, and let's see how many fans they can bring back. And I think the game is going to bring people back. There's going to be some hurt feelings. I think that you're seeing some posturing now about, you know, it's just tough for me to get into it because of how they looked. That's, you know, the only way I can approach that is in a year or two after 21, you probably have every right to say that because things are probably going to get ugly. But right now, just enjoy it. I mean, just be like anything else. You know, we've been in quarantine. We've gone through things, unprecedented things that we would never think we would see. Just take it for what it's worth at this point.
Okay, so now you're preaching at me. I see how you are. So,
I'm getting political. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, I haven't. The announcement was nice and all. And I'm sure that as get into, you know, seeing games and things like that, you know, I'm sure there'll be more of an excitement level, but it is, I mean, people, you know, like you were saying, and you're definitely better well adjusted than I am to do this, you know, but a lot of people are embracing the strangeness of it and that, and, you know, but there is, that is interesting. Don't get me wrong. We'll see how that goes, but you know, really part of the big, you know, what I appreciate the most about baseball, what it really gets me is the daily, the, you know, the being able to compare it, the normalcy of it, I guess, if you will. And, you know, there's no doubt that 2020 baseball is going to be a lot different than 2019 baseball. And so, I don't know. I just haven't been able to, you know, I don't feel like this, for me, is like February, March, you know, April, you know, when you're getting ready for the season and you've had all this time off. I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe it's just, you know, I kind of already resigned it to no season. And so maybe it's because I'm not 100% sure we're going to have a full season. And I think that's something we'll talk about here in a second. But that's an issue as well. I just, you know, this, the DH, the runner on second to start the extra innings, you know, it's a, you know, smaller pool of teams you're seeing. I mean, it's a lot of different stuff. And again, I do not fault anybody for being interested and excited about that. And I think that it will be interesting. And you're right. There's no doubt that this is going to be an outlier no matter. So if you're going to do it, this is the season to do it. But I think all of that together is just, I don't know. Maybe I've just kind of gotten used to not having it, and it's not going to bother me as much. And that's not something I would have thought I would have said at the beginning of all this.
And my question back to you was actually going to be, how much do you think that has to do with the overall global situation right now? Because I'm pretty apathetic to just about everything right now, and that's not like me. But this change and this kind of lit a fire under me this week. And I was excited to look up, you know, some baseball reference stats and start looking at some lineup scenarios and who we're going to, you know, who's going to, you know, kind of the piggyback approach they may use to the pitching and whatnot. And I was like, you know, it's that to me was felt so good to get back into that groove. Other than the uncertainty. And, you know, I think it probably speaks to my being too much of a control freak about how much this quarantine has bothered me, because it was the uncertainty of everything that bothered me much more than not having it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I get that. And I think maybe there's just, it's not in, because it's not in its regular spot, you know, I just, you know, it's warm outside, or, you know, there should be, we should be kind of getting into the dog days where we're like, you know, and it doesn't, what we're seeing, the beginning of baseball doesn't match up with what we're used to. And I think that disconnect may be part of it, you know, because you're reading stories from, I'm sure we'll be reading stories over the next couple of days of people coming back into camp and stuff, but, you know, they're going to be doing some weird drills and they're not going to be playing games, and it's just going to feel slightly off, I guess. Sure. And so you really can't, for me, I haven't find to really find that sweet spot, you know, when it rolls around into 2021 and if everything is back to normal and stuff and you're getting, you know, your actual spring training reports and you're seeing your stuff and all that, maybe that would be different. But and again, once we get to start seeing games, it's still going to be very weird not to have fans in the stands. I think that that whole dynamic is going to be really weird, don't you think? I mean, just
And that adds a little bit of I don't know. There's a part of me that's excited to see that, and not because I'm excited because there's no fans there, but just interested in the dynamic and how that would work and how guys react and you know, because I mean, everybody feeds off the fans, and I'm curious to see how that's going to work and how that will look on television.
Yeah, well, that, and I mean, you know, how often big moment, you know, the fans are trying to rattle the other pitcher, noise or something, you know, somebody makes a mistake or whatever, and I don't know. I mean, like I said, we've talked about this a number of times with this idea of no fans. Of, you know, how are these players going to realize that this is a real game and not like a spring training game? How do they, you know, how do they bring their full focus and adrenaline and all that into it? And I'm sure they will. I mean, you know, they're athletes. They're going to. I'm not. But it's just, it's got to be another level for them to try to mentally psych themselves up when there's not 40,000 people. And I get it. I mean, I know Marlins fans, they go to almost empty stadium, and Pirates fans, you know, the Pirates do too. But even then, you've still got a buzz in the stadium a little bit. You know, it's not completely dead, and like it will be now. So I think that's going to be very interesting to see. And hey, who knows? Maybe Miami and Pittsburgh play really well in this situation because they're used to it, whereas the Cardinals and other teams that are kind of based on fans might struggle.
Yeah, yeah, and that kind of leads to another question, and we'll probably talk about that later down the line. But I expect to see a lot of 30 and 30 teams, and I mean a bunch, like almost everybody, which could really add to the intrigue in how a season like this goes, which ultimately, if it works like that, that may add more of the I'm not sure what I'm looking for here, but of the spring training final variety, if it were a team like that, that were to make a run to, say, a division championship or league championship, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it could. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's really not much way for a team to separate, right? There's not going to be – there's only 60 games.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're probably not – I mean, you could. You could see somebody go 40 and 20, right? I mean, normally you would say, no, you're not going to win 2/3 of your games, but – in a short season like that, you could win 40, but it feels like that's probably the upper level, maybe, unless you get a really amazing run. So you're probably not going to lose 20. I mean, you've got basically a range of about 20 games there, right? And so, yeah, I imagine. Well, we saw some of the projections this week on Fangraphs of Zips and things of that nature, and it had. What did it have? The Cubs winning by one game over the Cardinals and Brewers, and I think maybe even the Reds, and then the Pirates were 6 games out. I mean, there's just not going to be enough time to really separate all the, you know, this whole range there. So, you know, for what it's worth, and maybe it's something, maybe it is a good thing, but you could go into that last week leading the division and wind up dead last. And vice versa. Nobody's going to be out of it, which is, we can talk about the trade deadline in a minute, but it probably means that, you know, at least every game kind of means something. And I think, yes, I saw someplace that basically, but works out to like every game is worth 2.7 games of a regular season. So basically every game's like a series, you know, you're sweeping series. And if you swept a series, it's almost like a 10 game winning streak. That kind of thing is going to be interesting, I guess, too, to see, you know, if somebody gets on a run, especially early on, that could be the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, I try to equate it to a college schedule who's typically about 50 to 60 games. But they spread it out to the Tuesday, you know, sometime Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday out of conference, and then the, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, however the conference is lined up to play those games. And I do kind of wonder how much – you can't really do it with a big league roster, but then as far as setting up more for the weekend series and the more important, I think that you're going to run with the five-man rotations and possibly a six in a piggyback scenario type deal. Point I'm trying to make is a lot of times some of these college teams are loaded and will win, you know, your 40 and 50 game and have your, you know, 10 to 15 losses. I don't think you're going to see that with professional sports just because a lot of teams are so average. But I do wonder how much the pitching that takes off the quickest is just going to be dominant in a short season like this. And that adds kind of to the fun of it to me, you know, just to see how they're going to do it. And, you know, 3-inning starts and 4-inning starts and 3 innings with a guy here and there. And I don't know. That's some of the oddities that I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, it is interesting. You know, I don't follow college as much as I should just because it's at a bad time of year usually for me. But that is an interesting point. You're right. I mean, that's different, though. I mean, as you were saying, you know, because, you know, Arkansas goes out and plays some, you know, quad A school. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, yeah, some yeah. direction school that has no bit, you know, and then they play in the SEC and, you know, that kind of stuff. But they can pad their windows, and that's not going to be the same. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh and all those may not necessarily look like great on paper, but they're not going to be just, you know,
yeah.
doormats either.
Yeah, so. They get paid to play as well, you know, one of those things.
Exactly. The biggest thing is, I guess, not biggest thing, but the one thing we might notice the earliest besides the DH, which I really don't want to talk about because I don't want to be upset, is the 30-man roster. It's going to go 30-man for 2 weeks, then 28, and then down to 26. So, obviously, there will not be expanded rosters for September because then that would be kind of pointless. And there's no minor leaguers to bring up. There's a taxi squad that's going to be playing in Springfield. That's going to have the difference in, what is it? Is it 60 men total? Is that what it is?
I think so.
I wasn't sure.
I read how they were breaking it down today. Not names, but numbers. And I can't remember. I should have that up.
I think that's right. But anyway, and so the rest of who's not playing in St. Louis is playing in Springfield. You know, what do they do? First off, what do you think? I mean, if you got a DH, you don't need as many bench bats, right? In theory, because you're not pinch hitting as much. Do they load up that more with, you know, with more pitching, especially early on, because the starters are going to need more time.
With the Cardinals, that's exactly how I pictured it. That they'll probably go pretty heavy on the pitching and light on offense. And I hate to say it like that because I think the big question mark on this team is going to be the offense. Regardless, I think you have a natural DH situation established with Edmund, the ability to get him in the lineup to play third, and Carpenter to hit, which that could probably be a standard deal. What's that?
I said assuming Carpenter hits.
Well, you know what I'm saying. He'll have a bat in his hands.
Yeah.
And then you know, the fallback. I'm not a big proponent of one of the young outfielders DHing at this point. I feel like you could do Carpenter and Ravello if that's your roster, which I would assume that's probably pretty close. And then I think you're going to see a lot of 3 to 4 inning starts, like I said. And I think you're going to see 2 to 3 inning stints behind them as far as bullpen goes in a little while. And I think you're going to see more long men, which benefits the Helsleys and the Reyeses of the world, than a lot of the – and probably the Ponce, now that I think about it. And maybe less of the short inning guys. Yeah. You know, I think that Miller could probably fit the role as both, or that's what they're going to say. And, you know, kind of establish it from there. You know, losing a Brevia hurts, but I think that that probably opens the door to a Hicks situation sooner rather than later. But I think that's probably what they'll do. I think they'll go really pitching heavy, and especially early on. And then, and then decide it from there.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, Hicks sounds like, not 100% sure, it sounds like he could be ready to go.
I've heard that he is definitely playing too, by the way.
Yeah,
I have heard that. The diabetes situation.
Right. Right, he could have easily opted out. He was a high-risk individual who I'm pretty sure that it was finalized. We heard so many things, but I think eventually they did say high-risk players could opt out and not play and still get service time and get paid. It was just that if you had at-risk people that you knew or people in your family, you could not do that. They didn't get that exception in there. But Hicks could have not played, but he is going to do that. And you're right. I mean, well, let's sidetrack just a little bit since you brought it up, and I don't want to forget about it. We did find out, you know, right after all this was finalized, that John Brebbia had Tommy John surgery in May. Now, I guess that's the difference of not being around all the time. I'm just really surprised they didn't, you know, announce that a while back, you know. Instead of, I mean, it's been a month or more, maybe 5 weeks or so since he's had it.
I thought it was the 1st of June.
I thought they said that Brebbia had had it in May.
Okay.
I
don't know well enough to argue it. You know what I mean? But for some reason, I was saying it was the 1st of June.
Let's see. Well, it's going to until it tried to do something else. He had a June 8th. Okay. I don't know why I thought it was mid-May. So it has.
Well, I think it was reported wrong the first time because I noticed that later in the day that it was different. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. It may have been one of those things where he went in May to get it all, you know, figured out and started seeing stuff and they did it in June. So not quite as surprising then that it's been a little bit later, not that far off, but that kind of hurts. I mean, I guess it didn't hurt too badly because the Cardinals do have a lot of arms. And like you said, they may focus on multi-inning arms. But Brebbia has been a pretty solid guy the last couple of years. And sure. It's been really nice to have him around. And I know that's a tough blow for him because it'll be, you know, just like Hicks. I mean, you know, Hicks got his this time last year. So you're looking at July before Brebbia can make it back next year.
Yeah, and you hate to see it happen to anyone, especially the good guys, you know, the ones that seem like genuine good dudes and whatnot. So it was surprising. And I worry about that in the first part of camp, about guys trying to rush back. The injuries are a worry of mine. You know, with you being in Arkansas, maybe in Oklahoma, and we, you know, everybody seeing what's happening in Texas, that's obviously a big factor right now. I am trying to get COVID out of my mind when it comes to Major League Baseball right now, and just to see and just kind of move along with the hopes that it's going to happen. And maybe if I don't see it, it won't happen, you know, type of situation. So whenever I talk about these injuries, know that it's on the top of my mind, but no, I probably won't bring it up very often. That's the thing. I do worry about injuries rushing things back a little bit. We'll see how it goes. You know, it seems like every spring training has an arm go down.
Right.
You know, I hope it's not something like this. And, you know, you worry about your position player probably equally as much with the urgency they're going to need to be ready to play.
The good thing is these guys have been staying in shape. I mean, I know it's not the same, but it's not like they've been sitting around and then all of a sudden they have to try to hit a wall. And they've probably started to ramp up over the last week or two.
Sure.
I mean, even as negotiations were going on, it was really pretty felt like there was going to be some sort of season, whether that was agreed upon or not. So, you know, they're probably, you know, you're right. There is still a risk of that, especially when you got 3 weeks and you got 3 weeks of a weird spring training. You know, you got 3 weeks of these guys coming in and doing their drills and then leaving, and these guys coming in and doing the drills and leaving. You're not all together. And then you play some inter-squad games and, you know, in theory you could play exhibition games, although it doesn't sound like the Cardinals are planning on doing that. It's not the normal rhythms that baseball usually has, and so you do worry about them, you know, tweaking something or getting injured here or there. And that's a concern. Hopefully that's not an issue. Now, I know you want to put it out of your mind, but it is fair to talk about the virus, because we saw this week that a couple of Rockies got it at Coors Field. You know, they were playing and practicing in Coors Field. It wasn't Arizona or all those. And it just makes you wonder, you know, how, I mean, you've seen it. We've seen it all around here. It just feels like you can take all the precautions you want, but somehow it still tends to make its way in. And I'm concerned, just because it's the way this year is gone, I guess, that they're going to spend all this time working on getting a schedule together and, you know, all the negotiations and all that. And then 2 weeks into this, there's going to be some sort of major outbreak and we're going to shut it down.
Well, and that's very possible. You know, that's kind of some of the worry that I'm trying to keep out of my mind. I mean, especially when we see here that, you know, there's a lot of talk where elective surgeries and everything may be on the outs here for the next couple of weeks, just to make sure our hospitals stay open. And my one warning is there's going to be positive tests, and there's probably be a bunch, and it may be alarming to see that at the, you know, right when camp opens, and that may be troubling. But I think that the powers that be want to play, and I think the powers that be over everything else want life to return to normal, for better or worse, as quick as possible.
Well, and I tell you, my point of view, my thinking, and I don't know if I'm right, but I would much rather see those tests now come out positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you've got 3 weeks to get those guys healthy, and you can try to contain it, assuming it's not spreading. I mean, you don't want to see it through everybody. But, you know, these are guys that, for the most part, good shape. It's likely not to make, you know, it'll make them sick for a little bit, but they're probably not going to be too bad off. I mean, hopefully they don't spread it and everything like that. And I get, you never know exactly how a virus is going to affect you. But, you know, hopefully it's one of these things where the guys, you know, they quarantine for a week or so when they're good to go. And you'd much rather see that before the game start than, you know, beginning of August, middle of August, all of a sudden you're starting to see these kind of cases. And especially you want to see it before they start traveling and perhaps spreading it. I mean, I think that's got to be baseball's worst case scenario, is to have somebody like, just to pick one, to say Harrison Bader gets it but doesn't know it and goes to Milwaukee and gives it to one of them and they take it home, or, you know, and it spreads around the league some like this before people are actually tested and showing symptoms. I think that's what they really don't want to. They don't want to be, for better or for worse, blamed for another outbreak or spreading it around, or, you know, if things start to get down. So I know they're going to do everything they can, but again, it's kind of, you know, as I think somebody said, you're kind of expecting 20 and 30 year old men to not do stupid things. That's not necessarily a great idea.
Exactly. I thought Mo I think he stated it perfect. I think this is all going to determine how serious the players are willing to make it. You know, that says a lot. You know, it always sounds like it's wishful thinking when you come up with these facts. I always feel like there's a little bit of pie on my face and how I've kind of handled this whole situation anyway. But it seems like there's a heck of a lot less worry in outdoor events than there are indoor events right now. You could kind of read between the lines on a lot of things, and sometimes just outright they'll say it. And, you know, that makes you feel a little bit better about the situation, but, you know, I don't know. Like I said, we've made it this far. I don't want to announce all the stuff that did not happen.
Right. Yeah. I don't either, but it's been that kind of year. So, you never know. Let's talk a little bit about what strategy the Cardinals might have for how they're going to put their team together. And I guess the biggest thing is everybody wants to know about Dylan Carlson, you know. I think I saw that I don't think that Dylan Carlson starts the season with the Cardinals, because why do you want to waste a year of eligibility on a year like this? You know what I'm saying? And I don't know how much he gets. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? I mean, it's,
I completely agree with you. I agree. That's kind of how I felt since, you know, even spring, even when he was hot in spring, and then you could see the playing time kind of, whenever it started to marginalize a little bit, and he was on the outside looking in. You know, the turn is going to be, do you feel like he's one of the 30 best players? And no one can definitively say, yes, that's probably the case. I agree with you. I'm not sure it's worth running the risk on that. And it's not like you don't have options. You know, that's you have an overabundance as is.
Right. And that's, I guess it really kind of gets down to what's the strategy going to be here? Because how much, you've got 5-6 outfielders, right? I mean, we got a whole bunch of outfielders. How much lead time do you give them? And then, you know, again, with Carlson, you don't know that he might not need some adjustment to facing major league pitching. So would you rather him have, I mean, there's just not, I don't know how I'm saying this, but basically there's just not much time to allow for somebody to work it out, right?
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, it's, you know, I try to minimalize it the best I can. And it's one of those to where, don't we need to see, even in this situation, an O'Neill and Thomas play? You know, I mean, here for a little while. And that's, and I know the argument's going to turn right around on me like, hey, you don't have development time, you know, that built in now. Right. You know, you're going to have to be creative on how you do it. But I'm not so certain the 60 games are going to completely change the Cardinals' mindset as far as development. Now, I think you're going to see in-game management a little bit different. I think that you are going to see some urgency, but I'm not sure they're going to completely throw the book out as far as how they like to operate.
Yeah, but, boy, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. I don't know. You know, if Carpenter hits 150 over the first 2 weeks, I mean, you got to pull him, right?
Oh, I agree. I think there's going to be a leash. There's no doubt about that.
But then on the flip side of that, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, a 2 week slump is nothing in baseball for the most part. I mean, these players usually do that, right? I mean, they go through these dips and valleys and they kind of somewhat have to work them out, which we've talked about in the past. But this year, I mean, I don't know. I feel like you're going to be just, I feel like if you're just whipping people in and out, you're almost like flailing around trying to find some sort of handle. So I think there's got to be some sort of strategy behind it. But yeah, I mean, if Fowler looks like 2018 Fowler, you know, especially with people like Lane Thomas and Tyler O'Neill and all them sitting on the bench, or maybe even Justin Williams to start the season, or Austin Dean or something like that. Yeah, I mean, you can't let him go too long. But then again, how do you let a guy get enough at bats to try to find his way?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, it's, I look forward to that, and it may be the most entertaining watching Schilt strategy this year more than most, you know, because this is going to sound silly, but you know, in baseball, you never know how important. Everybody's going to say it's the most important, and a win's a win, and that's how it goes. But you always – baseball has the long game mindset a lot of time, and not necessarily the win Tuesday night situation. I don't know if you can afford to do that. As a matter of fact, I know you can't afford to do that now. So it's going to have to be a situation where you're pulling levers quickly, and that probably means a lot of churn, which I agree with you. It kind of goes into that. If you have two quarterbacks, you really don't have any type mindset to where I think you're going to have to find an established rotation really quickly as far as lineup and pitching wise. And you're going to have to roll with it. And you're going to have to be pretty confident in what you have, but you better be pretty confident in what you have behind them. And that it's going to be a lot of fun to watch those kind of maneuverings.
Yeah. And relievers as well, right? I mean, and then that's the thing too, as you were saying, that it made me think about it. How do you how far do you go to win that day's ball game? You know, I mean, you know, normally we'd say, well, you don't want to burn out your pitchers because, you know, it's a long season, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, if every loss is like getting swept in a series, do you pull your pitcher after four innings? I mean, early in the season they will, because they probably aren't real. But you know, in later in August, are you pulling a guy after two or three innings and, you know, trying to make do with the Gombers and the Ponces and try to get through there so you don't get farther behind? Or do you let a guy, you know, kind of take one for a team and realize you're probably not going to win today? Those are some interesting decisions that are going to be so foreign, I think, to what we're used to, because, you know, we understand that in a regular season, right? We understand, okay, you're down 5-0 after the third, you know, you got a doubleheader the next day or whatever. You can't use the bullpen. He's just going to have to stay out there. Or we can start, you know, bringing in the starters or whatever. But when you've got that, you kind of got to fight for every game now, don't you? And that's going to be pretty wearing on these guys, even though they're only playing 60 games.
Yeah. And well, in the six off days, I mean, it's going to be tough. I wonder about that. I wonder when you're going to be able to afford to bank some rest and when you got to go for the throat. It's going to be interesting to see pro athletes do that. You know, we've seen it, you know, for somewhat on a college level and somewhat on a high school level, but not to this extent. And, you know, minor leagues are still, I mean, you play a ton of games. And that's all about development. So it just doesn't work the same way. So it will be interesting. And this may be, of all the things that I've ever said, one thing that I would love to see out of the MLB playoffs is a March Madness type scenario. I don't know if I'll ever get that, but we could be close with a season like this.
Maybe. It depends on if – and they still could expand the playoffs, although it's not completely ruled out. It wasn't part of the agreement, of course.
And I didn't necessarily mean playoffs. I meant night to night.
Oh, well, yeah. And it may feel a little bit like that. And especially the last, like I said, I mean, there's not going to be a lot of separation. So the last 2 weeks of the season, 3 weeks of the season, a lot of scoreboard watching. And, you know, you're going to be playing inside your division, too. I mean, you might have some games at the end of it. You will. Somebody's going to spend that last week or so playing the American League or whatever. But for the most part, you know, in September, you know, when all these games are on the line, you're going to be playing Milwaukee and Pittsburgh and Cincinnati and Chicago. So, I mean, it should make for some good pennant races. We'll see. You know, we talk about this and then somebody will go out there and win like 40 games and not worry about it. But, yeah, there's just a lot of different avenues there. And I don't know how, because it's got to be something that Shields just not used to, right? I mean, he's done a lot of managing in his career, but nothing like this. And not just Shields. I mean, I'm talking just about anybody. Yeah. And like you said, even college isn't quite this way, even if these guys have managed at college. But this is, and especially for a guy like Shields, you know, what, a year and a half into this job, and he's doing something, you know, he's been asked to do something completely different. And I felt last year, and I felt like a little bit, maybe even his first year, he likes to see what he's got. He likes to play the same guys for a month or so, or, you know, he spent a lot of the first half last year just kind of seeing what he got, and then he could make his changes and go. He can't do that this year.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, and it's funny because at first, when you first kind of break it down about how things are going to go, you feel like the Cardinals are in a pretty good situation with all the arms. You know, pitching's going to win out in these situations if you can manipulate it. And there's a lot of guys that, you know, are going to be middle relief at best for the Cardinals that could be 4, 5, and possibly 3 starters on other teams. And I think that's a huge advantage. I feel like Atlanta may be in some of the same situation, but not to the depth that the Cardinals have. But after listening to what you said and kind of thinking about what we were talking about Mo earlier, how it is going to be a definite change of mindset to see how they manage it, because the Cardinals are typically in for the long game. and that's how they manage and develop and all that. So it is going to be a definite break from the normal. And I'm just curious to see, you know, the input, the pitching changes, the quick moves. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this conversation has gotten me more excited about it because there's things that I hadn't thought about. And that is, that kind of adds to it. Like, I'm going to take the outlier for what it is and really enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be different. Now, let's talk a little bit, maybe league-wide here. Trade deadline, it was moved to August 31st, which makes sense because there's not much point in having a trade deadline a week after the season starts. Was there a point in having a trade deadline at all, do you think? Because I'm of the opinion – Well, go ahead.
No. I agree with you. It was one of those to where when that came out, I was like, that doesn't make a lot of sense because I'm not certain there's going to be a lot of movement. But then when I listened to like Danny Mac and those guys and they give some of the scenarios that could happen, and I thought, you know, that could be pretty interesting. That if you throw that into a rush that we're going to see, that could be it could be made out to be pretty awesome. I'm still skeptical that it is necessarily needed regardless for the same reasons that you just said. But it was funny because Danny Mac kind of alluded to two things like the Cubs may not want to win. And they were kind of coming into this to kind of figure out what they had, and then they were going to start moving some pieces to save money that their finances were that bad. I wonder if this isn't a situation for them to say, hey, this is our one time to step on the pedal and see if we can't do this again. Or if they are out with the same mindset of, hey, let's relieve some of our finances on this, and which completely changes the game. And he acted like that's not necessarily the only team that may be willing to do that, which kind of surprised me. I kind of thought that, hey, for 60 games, we can stay together for that long, can't we? You know, type of situation. So I don't know. I mean, that's more the uncertainty, but, you know, it would be awesome to make that one big move to put you over for the last 20 games. You know, that's just things that we haven't really thought about too much.
Yeah, I mean, on the positive side, if you make a trade, you're going to get a guy for half the season, you know.
Yeah,
which is more than you normally get. Normally, you're getting them for, you know, like a third of the season or whatever. But like we said earlier, we don't expect there's a whole lot of variation, right? You're not expecting a whole bunch of teams that are going to be out of it. And then I don't know that there's any owner out there that's going to take on money.
Yeah,
I mean, we've talked about this after all they've grown through now. The Cubs are talking about maybe being able to open up the rooftops. Cardinals have started to look into opening up the ballpark village roof. Some of these others are starting to say that maybe by a little bit later on, they could start to have fans. Although I don't know. I mean, you see what Texas has got. You see what some of these other team places have got. I don't see how you could put fans in stands, even at a limited amount, because, I mean, between bathroom places, between, you know, concessions, you know, all these other things, I just don't see it. But yeah, that doesn't mean people won't do it.
Oh, yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that my question coming out of this was, would we see fans at any point this year? And I tend to think that we will.
And, I mean, probably – if, I mean, yeah, but man, it seems so irresponsible. I mean, I get it. Like I said, I get it sitting in the stands. You could spread out. You can have your family can have a row or a section or whatever. But yeah, you still, there's those common facilities. There's getting to your seats. Are you going to, I mean, how are you going to social distance getting people into the stadium? I mean, even if the Cardinals have just 10,000 people, you know, in their 40,000 stadium, trying to get everybody into the stadium, you know, at 6-foot intervals would be pretty crazy. And then, you know, trying to keep everybody at a distance while they're in the stadium. I mean, maybe there's enough room for all that. You know, anytime we've been to, and I've been to St. Louis at least, it's always been pretty full, so it's hard to know what, but man, I think there's just a lot there. But anyway.
I'm reading Tulsa's COVID plan. You know, we have the Texas Collegiate League starting next week. And it's interesting how they do it, but of course that's going that is on such a small scale. Right. It'd be easier to do, and it kind of touches on what you were saying: three seats between groups, every other row closed off. You know, one of those type of situations. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's funny now though that you feel like to have this conversation, you're kind of talking out of both sides of your mouth. Not necessarily us, but anyone in charge, and the fact that, you know, we may have a mask mandate before too long, but we're also talking about letting folks into a big league ballpark. It's tough to see right now.
I would think so. And I think it's, of course, you know, a number of people pointed out that it's a little bit disingenuous to find the owners spend a whole lot of time arguing that they were going to have absolutely no revenue. And then all of a sudden, as soon as they make an agreement, oh, look, we're going to have revenue. I tell you, I have had a meeting or two here and there that I've had to wear a mask for like an hour or so. I do not think I'd want to sit outside in, especially in 100-degree heat and watch a ball game with a mask on.
No, that's a great point. I really want to go to some of the Tulsa ball games. And you're in Arkansas. I'm in Oklahoma. We know what middle of the country heat is. And I, you know, for my family, I'm committed to wear a mask when I go out in public and at peak hours or around other people. And that's going to be tough to wear a cloth mask when I know what the temperatures are going to be at the ballpark. And I thought about that. As much as I want to go, I probably won't go to many games for that very reason.
Yeah. Now, and I don't know, and you will, you can tell me, but I mean, I have seen some talk about you don't have to wear a mask if social distancing is a possibility outside, but maybe if you're sitting in the seats, you wouldn't have to because there's not enough, nobody around you. I don't know, but I don't, you know, again, once you get up, once you move, you'd have to have it on then.
Sure. And
how are they going to enforce this? Are they going to make you have a mask on when you come into the stadium?
I don't, the way that I take it to the ballpark, they are not going to. I am not certain that Tulsa is not getting to the point where they're going to mandate it for a short period anyways. I could bet we may even see that as early as next week. That's just me saying that. So, you know, I'm not sure. The way that the wording sounds when they've sent out the ticket package options, all it said was the food vendors will be wearing masks. Nothing about any other patrons wearing masks. So yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's expected.
Yeah, that's and like I said, there are, you know, like you pointed out, there's a lot of suggestion that it's harder to catch outside. Yeah. And it's, you know, if you're sitting around and like if you're sitting with people that you know and you aren't wearing a mask, that's one thing. But boy, if you're, it's still not something I would do right now. But I'm fairly cautious. I'm not as cautious as maybe everybody in my household, but I'm pretty close.
Says it all.
Yeah.
There's parts of Tulsa right now that it is that the numbers are quite embarrassing, but you can see it coming because during the quarantine, if you stayed in Midtown, everybody had a mask on. There wasn't a lot of people out. You go south of town, and that was not the case. You would have to fight lines of 20 people to get any plants at Lowe's, and you know where I'm going with that. I mean, it was parts of town didn't care, and you know those. I won't even say it. It's just you'll see a lot of red hats in that part of Tulsa. So you kind of see what's happening, and I mean we're gonna get beat up on it, but it is funny. You turn around and we're gonna have, you know, a place where you could buy a ticket and see live baseball and sit in the stands, and I did not think that would be a possibility this year.
No, and there's a lot of mixed messages, mixed signals, and a lot of it's just we don't know.
Sure.
We don't know what's going on.
I completely agree.
We don't know how things are going to work out. So, you know, you do what you can do, and to some degree, you make it as safe as you can, and you you know, but if you also encourage people that don't feel safe not to go, and that's, you know, where it is. Obviously baseball is not an essential thing that you have to do. So if you're, you know, at least have that option. I don't know. I still have problems believing that they'll be able to get much fans in the States, yeah. But maybe, you know, maybe by September or October, which is, our, you know, even though they're talking about, you know, it flaring up again, especially if it starts getting cool, you know, the cool nights in September and October. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think that might be a little bit more risky, but maybe not. I don't know. I don't know anything about this thing.
No, yes, it's up to know.
The Cardinals have kind of said, and a lot of people are, this taxi squad that's going to be in Cardinals' case over in Springfield does not have to have – people don't have to be added to the 40-man roster, obviously. We're talking about 60 people, so obviously not everybody can be on the 40-man roster. And so a lot of teams seem to be planning on putting their top prospects in there to at least let them play inter squad games, keeps the development type of thing going. That's probably where you see Carlson if he's not playing. Probably see Gorman, probably see Libertor, maybe Zach Thompson. A lot of those guys will be very interesting to see how they do, because it's a possibility with this weird season, if something happened or people got hurt or whatever, could you see Gorman making his debut if Edmund goes on the DL and Carpenter struggles?
Yeah, you know, I completely agree with that. I think I'm ready to see some of the service time talk solidified. You know, I know there's a lot of gray areas in those things right now, but honestly, if we don't see a Carlson Gorman this year, I would almost be surprised. That's how close I think that it's going to be, and I think that it gives them a chance to give the guys reps and compete at a high level. You know, I'd even heard where Walker and some of the first-round picks may show, may be on the 60-man squad. Mm-hmm. And that I don't know. I mean, that's I think you're going to hear that from just about every club. But the way they make that out is going to be interesting, because they're missing out on years of development. I wonder how much the Cardinals put of importance of that over their possibility of winning. You know, I feel like the Cardinals are walking a fine line on that, because they're so they adhere to their plan so strictly that I want to see how I honestly can't see them veer from that greatly. And I think the development is a huge part of that. And I think that I completely think that that we'll see those guys in the bigs.
I'm not so sure about Gorman, just because, I mean, you will have to add him to the 40 man if they do make it to the majors. And that's a whole can of worms, especially this fact that I guess the Cardinals have one spot when Munoz left, which seems like eons ago, right? And then Hicks will come off the 60, but Brebbi will go on. So there's still one spot on the 40-man, as far as I know. So, I mean, if you're going to put Gorman on there, you may have to do some juggling. But, you know, there's some talk about Zach Thompson being an arm that you could see this year, because he's, you know, he's kind of that Michael Walker type, right? Yeah. He's going fast riser, you know, low floor, or high floor. He's going to hit that quickly. So, you know, you have to find a spot for him on the 40-man too.
I feel like Whitley maybe in that same spot.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably closer. It's that, just think of the names that we've gotten into as far as their pitching goes. Mm-hmm. We've yet to see Wainwright. We've yet to say Carlos Martinez, and we've yet to say Michaelis. And I bet we've got up eight guys that could be effective in the bigs.
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of them, that you've got. I mean, and you've got Woodford on the DL, the 40 man, I'm sorry. You know, you talked about Reyes, but you never know which way he could go.
Yeah.
Gomber's in that mix. Genesis Cabrera.
Yeah, I mean, think about, I mean, you could actually have a game where Flaherty goes three, Kim goes three, and Cabrera goes three. And I'm just pulling names out of the hat and
pretty stout. Yep, you could. And it wouldn't be bad. And then the next day, you could see Martinez, Gomber, and Ponce or something.
Yeah, and then, I mean, it's funny. You can go Michaelis and on and on. I mean, you're pretty good. I mean, that's what makes me think that the Cardinals are well-positioned right now.
They are in good shape. You know, they got to see what kind of offense they can put together, which we always knew that was going to be an indication of an issue. They also probably get a break in the fact that, you know, we felt like they were the best team in the National League Central. Now, you know, over the long haul, at least, whether it is in the short haul, we'll see. But felt like they were one of the best teams there. You look at the American League Central, there just doesn't seem to be much there, right? I mean, you got the White Sox are up and coming. The Twins were big last year. You know, the Indians have been good, but they lost. You know, they traded Kluber off. I don't know what they're going to be looking like. They could have a lot of games. You know, they could get a lot of wins off of Kansas City and Detroit that they wouldn't have gotten in a regular year. So you put all that together, I mean, they're still as much as you can pick anything, because you can't in such a short season. I mean, the small sample of, you know, you go out and lose your first series and you're in a big hole. Yeah. And that's what's hard to imagine. But yeah, I'll go 0-3 and it's like, oh, wait a minute. But they're still a strong contender for definitely for the playoffs and probably to the division. Now, do you think, and I don't know, cause I haven't really thought this out, being that we haven't as of right now expanded the playoffs, you're talking about the two wild card teams. Do you think they are more likely to come out of the East and West or Central because they're playing each other? I mean, do you think like the Nationals and the Braves are going to wind up beating up on each other, or they're going to wind up playing the Yankees and the Red Sox so much that those win totals are going to be down and somebody that comes in second in the Central might have a better shot at it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, that's because to be matched up in that East would be tough. Just because, I mean, you of course go Boston, New York, and then you have Tampa Bay, who this could be right up their alley this year. You know, they could be tough. So you know what? I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I hadn't really thought that far ahead about that. I was thinking that, you know, outside of Washington, which was the outlier, the best teams in the National League had shown themselves in 60 games anyway. You know, that's a great point. I mean, then it turns to, you know, you're going to have Houston and LA beating up on each other. You know what? I don't know. Let me think on that a little bit. I'm not really sure. I think that the Cardinals definitely have the easiest path, but I'm not sure how detrimental it would be to have to play the American League East.
It may not be huge because you're only playing it is a third of the season, but 20 games against the whole East. So you're only playing the Yankees five times, playing the Red Sox five times, which that's what I'm going to be interested to see what the schedule comes out.
Yeah.
Somebody somewhere along the way, there was this idea that the interleague play would only be one trip. They would like the Twins are going to come to St. Louis one time. Well, that if they're going to play 10 games, well, they weren't going to play 10. Yeah. They're not going to, are they? Because I thought they'd play five on each, but they're going to play more against the Royals. So you'll probably see a three-game series against all those others, and then Kansas City comes in. But if Kansas City comes in for, I guess their rival may come in twice. I really kind of wish they had embraced that a little bit more. One, to limit the travel, and two, because, hey, we're doing everything else weird. And had, like, okay, Twins come in for five games.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and just one time, boom, done. And then they don't have to travel to St. Louis again.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been interesting, but it doesn't sound like that's what they're going
to
do.
Now, in nostalgia-wise, I kind of wanted to see that as well, because that used to be old Texas League scheduling. Whenever a team came in, they stayed for a week.
Yeah.
And that was always interesting to see. I did kind of want to see that. It's funny about that you finished with that, because that's what I was going to say. I kind of wanted to see that situation. I don't know. So in a 60-game breakdown, that means you're playing the other four teams in your division
10 times.
10 times. And then you're playing
20 against the other,
which would be five against four against the other five. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
But it would make a lot of sense if they did that.
Yeah. But I think we don't know for sure yet. I mean, in theory, they could be playing Kansas City more and the other teams less.
Yeah.
But it'd be easier just to do which is basically what that'd be. I mean, they'd come in for they come in for a two game set, right?
Yeah, so which I don't want to see that, but
and then they go there for two games. So you're only playing. Am I doing that right? Yeah, you're only playing them two at two, so that's four. Four times five is 20.
Yeah,
so you're only playing a little short series, so it would make sense that they would only come in once because you're only just gonna have those couple games. So, But yeah, that'll be a lot of weird.
Sure.
But the good thing is that I mean, we know that there's not going to be, I mean, there's only going to be a few days. So you're not going to have a lot of those Fridays off or something like we had last year.
Yeah. God, that seems like eons ago, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I am curious. I'm ready for the schedule to come out. You know, that's there may be more by the curiosity I have to see it. But maybe more than things seem a little more real when that comes out. You know, I don't know. Yeah. That may be part of it to me. And you never know. I mean, as slow as we are right now, I may go to Ballpark Village one weekend. Yeah. Or maybe, you know.
I mean,
I can't see they might be able to do anything. I guess they could send Arrowhead and watch. But
yeah, because I was about to say they might quarantine you from coming from Oklahoma.
That's very true. And they come, I cross state borders and the alarms will go off.
Yep, pretty much. So, I think that'll help. I would like to see them get that done. And then I guess once they set that schedule, boy, they have to refund all the rest of the season, right? I mean, Cardinals have refunded through June, but there's still July, August, and September games that they have not yet canceled. In fact, if you go to the schedule right now, they haven't canceled tomorrow night's game against the Red Sox yet. So,
sure.
In Boston. So, but once they put another schedule out there, I would think that they doesn't mean that they will, but I would think they would have no other choice but to then go ahead and start refunding the rest of the season.
Sure. And you know what? I can't remember if I said this last time or not, but ours have been getting refunded at the end of each month at this point. I didn't realize that till we talked about it the other day. So, I just can't, I don't envy that spot. You know, have to deal with that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm sure that they are trying to roll as many over as they can and things like that, but single game tickets, they pretty much just, you know, they have to refund them, and that's not fun for them either. You know, that's also in theory not money they're out either.
Yeah,
right? Sure. They're just returning money. So, but that doesn't mean it wasn't spent already too. So, you know. Anyway, all right. Well, as I said, Alan and I will, you know, next week this time, the Cardinal. Well, we're recording this on Thursday this week. But if we go back to our normal Friday, the Cardinals should have people showing up at camp next week. Although next weekend's 4th July, who knows when we'll record. But we'll have more ball to talk about then. But until then, that's Alan. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.